God has declared, I think they want to go interpret over here for him. So we're going to let them go over to the cry room. And y'all don't cry too much, okay? All right. But what is it that holds you? And you know, we've been talking about fear, how fear holds us, how worry and how anxiety. And we finished last week, we finished that message or that series on the love of God controlling us, which, by the way, we finished the series, but we'll never finish talk about it, okay? We need to be a people, we're called to be a people of love, controlled by love, not by the things of our past, not by the hurts, not by the wounds of our past, not by the failures of our lives or the sin patterns we might find ourselves in, or the fear of the things that are in the future, whether it's 10 minutes from now or 10 years from now, the things we worry about, the things that we struggle with. We are no longer controlled by those things. Amen? We're no longer controlled by these things. And you and I must come to this conviction that we're not controlled by this. Paul said it. He said, he didn't say maybe. He didn't say part of the time. He said, we are controlled by the love of Christ. The love of Christ controls us. It constrains us. It compels us to do the things that God's asked us to do, individually and then corporately as the body of Christ. And that's the question that we've been asking. Will the love of Jesus compel us to whatever he compels us to, or constrain us from whatever constrains us, so that we're not walking a life that is not giving testimony to this great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us, rose again for us, and empowered us. And I want to do something this morning, and I'm going to probably end up doing just kind of a rough outline of this message this morning. It's the part of this message is taken from a series on the resurrected words of Christ. But I think it's really, really interesting. I'm not interesting, but important to maybe address this again here a few years later. Because when you have in John chapter 20, Jesus has died and he's rose again. And this is resurrection day. This is the evening of the day that he's resurrected. And I'm just going to tell you this. I would just hear this in the disciples or how whoever's in this room, who's ever locked up, are scared to death. They're greatly, greatly afraid. They're afraid of the Jews. They're afraid that what happened to Jesus might happen to them. They're walking in a fear of the future. They're assuming some things about their future that they ought not to be assuming. And Jesus has already said that they were going to be fishers of men, right? Jesus has already declared in very prophetic and great words of where the disciples were going to go and who they were going to go to. And I'm just telling you, he continually spoke that. And yet they're afraid for their lives. They're afraid they're going to die. They're afraid they're going to face some things that are going to be just too hard. So the Bible says in chapter 20 and verse 19, so that when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And now just say this, word shut means locked, chained, locked up with a padlock, so to speak. They're scared. They're frightened. They are making some assumptions about what is going to befall them in the immediate future. Now, we know from history that every one of the disciples will one day die for their faith, except for John. John will live to be old. He'll live to be exiled. He'll write Revelation, and he'll die of old age. He won't die. Now, he'll be persecuted. History tells us that he was burned with boiling oil at one point. And so he was persecuted, but he didn't die a martyr's death. History tells us that, not the Bible. History tells us that. But granted, they're headed towards something great. They're headed towards something wonderful. And yes, sometimes the things that are great and wonderful can be very hard things. Amen?
Listen to me. Great and wonderful things along the way can be really, really hard. Listen, Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. You have tribulation, but be of what? Good cheer. I've overcome the world. The very world that brings tribulation, the very world that brings persecution, I've overcome it. I've overcome the world. And this is the word of Jesus. Now, I just want to say this. I'm going to ask this question. And you don't need to raise your hands or anything unless you just feel compelled. How many of you have feared something this week, this month, this year? Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you want to raise your hand, raise your hand. Yeah. Let me ask you the question, and I'll just say it like I believe it. I've walked in fear some things this year, but it didn't do anything positive in my life. Did it yours? No. No. These guys, maybe some gals, we don't know. We know that Thomas isn't there, so they're not all there, okay? They're not all there. One day, really soon, they'll all be there, but they're not all there. Really important to understand that, because we can take the words and kind of just interpret them the way we want to interpret them, but they're not all there. There's just a few there from what we see. And so this is what happens. They're afraid. They're walking in fear. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes and he stands in their midst and he says to them, "Peace be with you." Now listen, this isn't just a greeting. This is a blessing. This is an impartation, so to speak. This is something that God's saying, listen, peace, God's peace, may it be all over you. Now I'm paraphrasing there. Just something that I sometimes do. But listen, let it be all over you. Peace be to you. Not just a moment, not just a few seconds, not just until we're gone from here. But I'm saying peace be to you. And you know, Jesus even said it in John 14:27 when he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be troubled, nor let it be fearful." You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to be so troubled that it's distracting you from the things of God. I'm leaving my peace with you. How many believe that God's peace is the greatest peace and the greatest thing that you can ever have in your life? Because I want to tell you this, that's what you're looking for. That's what the world is looking for. They're looking for peace. They just don't know it's the peace of God. It's not. They're looking for peace in the world, but they'll never find the peace of God in the world. You didn't find it, I didn't find it, and no one else will find it. That peace is only found in Jesus Christ. And what I want to talk about this morning, just in the next few minutes, is to kind of set something up for the next couple of weeks, okay? But I'm just going to say, this peace is available to you right now, right here. Whenever right now, right here is. Whenever you're facing something, whenever something's hard, whenever something's difficult, whenever something's uncertain, and even when something seems very, very dangerous, the peace of God is available to you. If you have Jesus in your life, guess who you have? You have the Prince of Peace living in your life. He's the Prince of Peace. He's available right now, right here, to calm your heart. He may not change the circumstances in the moment. Is that right? I mean, there's lots of us who are in circumstances. We prayed. We've gotten elders to anoint with oil. We've gone through the trouble and it didn't happen instantly. But guess what? You got God's peace. Amen? You got God's peace. You know, and I want to say, this is what Jesus leaves. He leaves his peace, not the world's peace. And what I want to really ask of God is that this would get deep in our soul. That we have the peace of God in our lives, and it's available to be released. It's available to fight with, to live with in days that are hard, difficult, where we would normally worry, walk in fear, and walk in anxiety. You have it right now, right here. Amen? We have it right now, right here. Now, I was to say, I've said some things like this before. I don't know how God speaks to you. I don't know how God speaks to you and what your language is. But I will never, I'll never forget. I was with a couple in. I was a couple many, many years ago. I mean, I'm talking in the 80s. An elderly couple moving toward their past retirement age. They're moving toward the grave, okay? And they've got some physical things happening. And one day, I just prompted me to say, "What I want you to do is, I want you to extend your hands with your palms up. And what I want to do," and I just prayed with her. I said, "I just want you to repeat after me." And it was really simple. "Lord, I receive your peace right now. Right here." And in some kind of supernatural way, supernatural thing, I'm just telling you, she gave this, "Oh." And it was like when she went, "Oh," that the stress and the worry and the anxiety all came out of her. And I saw her a week later and she says, "You know, I've only struggled with it one other time since I've seen you last. But I tell you what, the minute it came upon me, I just extended my hands and said, 'Lord, I receive your peace right now, right here.'" It's available. You might be here today and you might say, "That's just too simple." It is simple. It is simple. It's sometimes hard to get to because of all the distraction. These guys and these gals in this upper room, I don't know if they're women in there or not. I don't know. I just imagine that, you know, when you're on the run, you don't bring your family on the run, right? I mean, you're on the run. You're on the lam. And I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know. But all I do know is that he comes in, and this is what Jesus does. Every time he meets you, he comes and he meets the need, and he meets you at the point of your lostness or your lack. Whatever it is, he'll meet the need and he'll give you the word necessary to hear so that you can live on that word and not walk the way you've been walking. And this is the point. This is the word. "I'm giving you my peace." This peace is an awesome thing in Scripture, awesome in the Old Testament, awesome in the New Testament. You've often heard me talk about shalom, but I want to tell you, when you go to the Greek word, it's almost literally the same. And it is God's presence on your life. It is God's work in your life. I mean, it even goes as far as to say that this is a freedom from disorder, a freedom from confusion, a freedom from unrest of the soul. Unrest. And it's in the relationships, and it's in the relationships we find in this life. It's an inward sense of calm, a trust, and a oneness with God. And no matter what's being thrown our way, it's being complete in Jesus, it's being sound in Jesus, it's being healthy and happy and fortunate in Jesus, it's being safe in Jesus, it's being fruitful in Jesus, it's their tranquility, a quietness, a contentment, and a friendship with God. That's shalom. That's the peace of God in the New Testament. And Jesus made a way for you to walk in that peace. Because when you came into this world, you had no peace. You had no peace. And I want to just say, I'm a believer in Christ. I've known Jesus since I was 8. I've seen him work over and over and over and over and over again. I've worried. I've walked in anxiety. I've walked in stress. I've had my own fears. And when I look back, I think of over my 60 years, did I really have anything to fear? No. I didn't. And I don't. But that's hard, isn't it? Because we like to play little games with the peace of God. You know, Mike, I've heard somebody say this. I've felt this way. If I worry about it enough, it won't happen. You heard that? Because most of the things I worry about don't happen. But all the things that have happened, I wasn't worried. And it happened. So I might as well just worry. I made this statement one day to my wife. I said, she said, "Are you worried?" "No, I'm not worried, but that's what worries me." What kind of mind game is that? What kind of gymnastic thing is that? "I'm leaving my peace with you." And then he says to these in the room, remember, not everybody's there yet. He says to the room, "Listen, I'm giving you a word. It's a word of peace. And it's a word to live on. I have the peace of Jesus, period. That sound good? Why don't you say that? I have the peace of Jesus, period. It's mine. Yeah, you don't have to quit quote now. It's mine. It's what I have. I have it right now. I have it right here. The question is will I walk in it? Will I believe it in the bottom of my, will I know it in the bottom of my knower? Will I know it? Will I believe it? Will I embrace it in every moment of my life? And listen to this, and not only in my life, but in my friend's life, in my family's life, in my children's lives. To embrace it and to bring it to people, to bring it to the lost, to bring it to folks. It's the peace of God. And the question is how do we really find it? How do we really walk in it? How do we really move in this peace that Jesus said to these disciples who were afraid, who were worried, who were filled with angst, who rightly so in their flesh could see all the things that were happening because they don't understand things. They weren't looking for resurrection, even though Jesus said it. They weren't looking for it. It was done. It was complete. And then Jesus rises from the dead on a first day, the scripture says. And those women come to the tomb and they go and they share the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the men. And that's nonsense to them. Why? Why is it nonsense? Because they're not hoping in it. They're not anticipating it. They're not at the grave waiting for it to happen. And it happens. And Jesus has declared himself, and the tomb is empty, and they've run to the tomb, and it's empty, and they know it's empty, and they're afraid. And Jesus comes at just the right time. You believe that Jesus comes at just the right time, that his timing is impeccable. And that's what we trust in. When we're dealing with financial stuff, when we're dealing with lack in our career or our finances, or when we've got a relationship thing that's going, that's bad, that's hard, and it may not be you, it may be your son or your daughter and their spouse, and there's these things that are happening in their lives, and it just brings this turmoil to your heart, and it brings these things to your heart that just swirls around with disorder, with thoughts that aren't good, thoughts that aren't right. And I just want to say that there's peace available to you because you have it if you're in Jesus. You have the peace, the shalom of Jesus Christ living in you. You remember in Luke chapter 19, it's verses 41 through 44. Don't go to it, but just remember Jesus is about to approach the city, and he's up and he sees the city and he weeps over it. And he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. If you'd only known the time of your visitation, if you'd only known the things that make for peace, and you've missed your visitation, and because you've missed your visitation, it's going to be hard." How many of you missed a visitation of God before, and it got hard and harder? Listen, that's what he's saying. It's going to be hard. You missed it. You missed me. You missed my word. You rejected me. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets. You missed me. And he mourns and he weeps and he says, "I just wanted to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. And I wanted to put you under my wings. But you missed your time of visitation." The Prince of Peace offering peace. The things for peace. And let me just give you three things. Oh, it's 12:01. I wish I wouldn't have told you that. Three things about this. We receive the peace of God through faith. Okay? Faith that God births you with. He births you with this faith. And it wells up within you. And we see it because Jesus came preaching peace. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 says something like this. You were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. You were far off. You had no peace. Matter of fact, the Bible says you were at enmity with God. And you know, not only did you not have peace, you were enemies.
And Paul will speak of that in Romans and how we were ungodly and how we were sinners and how we were unjust and how we were separated and how we lived our own way. We had no peace. We were far off without God. No hope. Strangers to the promises of God. Excluded from the commonwealth. Separate from Christ. But God, the Bible says, but God being rich in mercy made a way. And then he says this, and it's by faith you were saved. By faith you entered in to relationship with me. Separated from God, no peace with God, no peace with people, no peace in yourself. And you're going your own way, and you're walking your own way, and you're missing God. Until God comes along and causes you to be born again through faith. I love our testimony. Our testimony is that one day we knew we were separated from God, and yet faith was birthed within us, and we believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, He did just for us. And we repented, and we turned, and we embraced the gospel, and we came to believe, and we put our faith. And guess what happened? He cast down the enmity. He put it to death. He nailed it to the cross. And no longer enemies of God. Now you're sons and daughters of God. And not only your sons and daughters of God, He calls you a friend of God. A friend of God. He joined you to God by the blood and by the cross of Jesus. But it happens the moment you put your trust in Him. What happens to a lot of believers is they put their trust in Him and then they walk off and they, or it may not even be believers, but because it might have not been something that was genuine, but they walk off, and what happens, they do exactly what Paul says not to do. They don't do what Paul says to do. As you've received the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. Amen? So it's a continual faith. A belief that God's big, that God is great, that God's in control, that God is Lord. And that He's Lord over my circumstances right now, right here. And that God is always at work. Do you believe that? God's always at work. Even when you don't think He's at work, even when you think there's something else going on, He's always at work. And that's what Jesus said, my Father's always working. And I got to stop the worry, and I got to stop the fear and move into the presence of God like never before and hear what God has to say to me. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have it right now, right here. You know, I love Abraham, and I wish we could talk about Abraham, but the skinny on that was that Abraham had a promise from God that he'd have a child one day in his old age. And he looked at his body as good as dead. But again, respect to the promise of God, you know what he believed? He believed that this God could call into being that which does not exist and give life to the dead. That's what he believed. Look at his body, good as dead. Oh, it's dead. But that's what we do, don't we? We look at the temporal. We look at the temporal stuff of life. And then all of a sudden, that temporal stuff gets controlling. And I don't know about you, but if I'm that old, and God said, you're going to have a baby, well, I don't know what I'd do. We're going to have a baby in our old age. I look at my body, it's good as dead, but yet God promised. And with respect to the promise of God, I get to walk like Abraham walked. I get to walk like Abraham. In respect to the promise of God, I don't waver or walk in unbelief. Let me tell you, if Abraham can do that without the cross of Jesus and the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the Church of God all put together that you and I have. I'm going to tell you what, if he could do that by the power of God, don't you think you and I could do that by the power of God? To believe that his purposes are being fulfilled in my life, that no matter what's happening, what's going on, that I can trust him and not walk in fear, worry, anxiety, and mistrust. It's interesting because when Thomas comes on the scene, they say, hey, that Jesus appeared to us. And he says, yeah, there's no way I'm going to believe that. Remember that? There's no way I'm going to believe that. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. No way I'm going to believe that unless I put my hands and my fingers in his wounds. So
The things that make for peace, number one is faith. Second, pursuit. You got to pursue it. I love what Romans 14:19 says. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. We believe it and we pursue it. We're in pursuit of the Prince of Peace in our lives already. And we're walking after that peace, but we're really finding it in the God of peace. Amen. And I've got to pursue it. I've got to have my mind on it. I've got to have my heart on it. I'm pursuing the peace of God. I'm pursuing it. And then the third is that I'm going to resolve, like Philippians 4:4-9 says, to be anxious for nothing. Listen, faith, pursuit, and resolve. Okay, faith, believing it, a pursuit of what I believe about peace, and then the resolve that I'm going to be anxious for nothing. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we will close with this. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Key word. Always. When it's good, when it's bad, when it's hard, when it's easy, when it's difficult, we rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. And a matter of fact, it's a command, it's an imperative, and it says it like this: rejoice and keep on rejoicing in the Lord always. Always. And again, I'm going to say it: keep on rejoicing. And let your gentle or your meek spirit be known to all men. Hey, the Lord's near. He's right here. Isn't that great? Hey, be anxious for nothing. Or I'm sorry, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Hey, let your gentle, let your meek spirit be known to all men. God is near. He is at hand. And then he says this: stop. Stop being anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? I get to live life. You and I get to live life according to the promises of God. It is a privilege. When we talk about peace, I'm telling you, we're talking about peace with God and peace with your neighbor. Your closest neighbor, your spouse. And then whatever the spectrum is, all the way to your enemy. I want to ask you, do you have peace with God today? Are you walking it? Do you have peace with your spouse today? Is there a peace? Or is there always just fracture? Or fracture comes once a month, twice a month, every couple of months. And you've been a believer how long? And you've been married how long? You have peace. And that peace is oneness. And I know it takes two. I do. But as far as you're concerned, make sure you're at peace with all men or all women, including, most of all, your spouse. Because it's available to you right now, right here. This peace is available to right now, right here. Whatever you're going through in relationships, whatever you're going through. And you may be a child here or a son here or a daughter here, and your mom and daddy, they may not be here, and they're going through it right now, and there's no peace in the home. I want to tell you, if they're in Jesus, they have the opportunity to have peace right now, right here. Amen and amen. It's the promise of God. I'm not saying there's a little work to it, because you got to pursue it. right? You got to pursue it. You got to do your part. It's not some magic wand. Although sometimes it's instant. Praise God when it is. But sometimes you've got to pursue it. You've got to. Peace is available. Do I have peace with God? Do I have peace with one another? Is there peace in my life? Or is there always chaos? Or is there always disorder in my relationships? You have the peace of God. And let me tell you, you got it the day you came to Jesus. The day you believed. But you and I, by the power of the Spirit of God, must pursue that peace. And then resolve that I'll be anxious for nothing by the power of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. Jesus will say, do not fear. Jesus will say, may my peace be upon you. And then he'll give you purpose when he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And then he'll give you power when he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's where we're headed next week. Father God, I want to thank you for the peace of Jesus. Lord, I know that some of us have walked in fear, worry, anxiety, and stress over a number of things. But I want to ask right now that the peace of Jesus would rest upon our people right now, right here. Those watching, those who will catch up and watch it later today or tomorrow or next week. I thank you for the peace of Jesus today. And Lord, I want to ask in your name that we would go from this place knowing that in Jesus we have peace. And it's available right now. So Lord, with hands lifted up, we say, we receive your peace right now, right here, in the name of Jesus. We receive it. Release it from us, Lord. Release it from us so that we might pursue it and resolve not to walk in another moment, another day, another week, a month, another year, another decade in chaos, but to trust our great God. God, would you birth within your people of faith to believe this word today? In Jesus' name, amen and amen.